Live from the Talking Joe Studios,
it's Talking Joe.
Talking Joe is on the air.
Hey, hey, it's me, Mark, and you are watching live, or later on when it's been pre-recorded, or listening on an audio-only podcast to Talking Joe. And today we are talking my Palitoy story, which is the Palitoy story from, let's say, Action Force godfather Bob Breakin, the man behind so many of the Palitoy toys from Action Force that we love, like this fella here, the Robo Skull behind me, and also joined by Brian Hickey, the designer for this new book, and the designer of all of the books, apparently. Just having a little look through of everything that's in the hopper for Brian. So without too much further ado, let's add them into the stream and welcome to Talking Joe, Bob and Brian.
Hey,
and
hey, Mark.
And Bob. There we go. The buttons worked. Welcome, welcome. Good to have you on and to join us and to talk a little bit about the latest book. Now, I think it's fair to say, Brian, that you're a man of many hats. And before we get too deep into this particular book, let's talk a bit about quick rundown. What's in the hopper for you at the moment? So what's in the works besides this particular book?
Well, what I'm working on at the moment with Paddy is the Total Robo Skull book, and we're doing that with the guys in Skeletron, who produced the Robo Skull Mark II. And that book, for anyone who's not familiar with it, tells the complete story of Robo Skull, and it starts off going back to the 1980s and Bob actually wrote the foreword for the book. And it explores the conception of the Robo Skull, the initial kind of design of the original toy. And then it moves into the kind of, today's kind of Robo Skull Mark II and how that came to be. And then it looks at the full toy line that kind of supports the Robo Skull vehicle as well. So all the different figures that have been kind of produced as part of funded as part of the Kickstarter and are currently in production. So that book is, I want to say that it's almost complete. We're just waiting for some figure photography to finish that off. And then that is going to be ready for spring next year. And that'll be going out to all the Robo Skull backers at that stage.
Are we going to see some of the original Robo Skull designs and things in there from Bob from back in the day?
Bob has been very generous and has shared a few pieces from his own archives in terms of the original Robo Skull material. So there will be some kind of drawings and some photos of the original Robo Skull and the design thinking behind that. So if you love product design and toy design, this is going to be a fantastic book for fans of design. But also, if you're a fan of the Robo Skull, it's a must-have book to have in your collection. So that is, production is very far advanced, and we're just waiting to finish off the figure photography, and that will be ready for people in spring 2024.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, with I don't know if this is locked in, but with the wonderful Ian Kennedy art there, which I had a small hand in myself as well as the art rep for Ian Kennedy, so that was a nice little piece of synchronicity that blown away at the time by the request to get this painted. My world's meeting.
It's a masterpiece, absolutely.
And then there's Total Hacks Volume 2.
And of course, what's this new project that only launched on Kickstarter yesterday is one that myself and Paddy have been working on for a while. So this has been in the pipeline for nearly a year to develop this book. So Paddy has already completed all of the written content. The design is established for the book, and it's it's really just rollout of the design and finishing some photography is all that's needed to pull this together. So what we're hoping to do is to fund the production of the book with this Kickstarter campaign. But also as part of this, we've kind of partnered up with Boss Fight Studio so this campaign will help unlock an exclusive figure from the team at Boss Fight Studio. So it's an enthralled Roman centurion as part of kind of Euryale's army of disciples. So that figure can only be purchased if you back this campaign. It won't be available outside of the campaign, and it'll only exist ever if this campaign is fully funded. So that's what we're kind of focusing on right now, myself and Paddy. And the book will be delivered in Q2 of 2024.
Right. That's Total Hacks Volume 2. I think you can find it from your Total Toy Facebook group. It's got all of the links and stuff. The TotalToyBooks.com is the website. And on the top of the website there is the link to the pre-order of My Palatoy Story by Bob Breakin there, as well as the Total Action Force Volume 2 and Total Action Force The Battle Years, which is and also Star Wars Creating Adventure as a read-only option. And I've got the Action Force books behind me. Yeah. They look amazing, and it's a great way of celebrating those incredible Action Force years, particularly for me, the Battle Action Force era, where we had all of those wonderful designs from Bob. So probably as good a point as any to segue into My Palatoy Story. So over to you, Bob. Where did the genesis for the project begin?
Oh, crikey, mate. It's back in years ago. What happened? I started giving history of Palatoy talks. Must be started about 15 years ago, I should think. And then the talks got more complicated and so forth. mostly to people like WI, Women's Institute, or local history groups and people like that. And people said to me, "You ought to write a book." So I was starting to write bits of down on bits of paper and looking up and researching things. And it all started to come together gradually. I put it down and picked it up and put it down and picked it up. COVID came along, which really would have been a good time to finish it off, but I didn't really do much when we were in lockdown. And then I got it written in one form and I didn't like it, and I wanted to put a bit of sort of social history in, leading mm-hmm. into, you know, the toy companies and Palatoy in particular. And so I rewrote it on that basis. And then I was looking for publishers to do it. And do you know the book, The Action Man Dossier?
It's yes. Not one I've got.
No, it's by Ian Harrison, because I helped him with that. I went to them, but they weren't interested. And I looked at other companies and weren't very impressed with what they were coming up with. And then I thought of Brian. So I gave him a tin call and said, "Brian, do you fancy doing a book?" So you better tell him what you thought, Brian.
Well, do you know what? That was actually music to my ears, because obviously I've been at, you know, it's no secret that I'm a massive fan of Action Force, but even separate from Action Force, I played with the Star Wars toys that were produced by Palatoy growing up in the 80s. Loved those toys. I played with Action Man as well. Action Man was a big toy for me, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s. And of course, you know, I'm aware of Bob then through the collecting community and the fan community as well. And I had met Bob at a rollout roll call probably back in 2014 or 2015. So when Bob got in touch and asked me to come on board for this, I mean, it really was a dream project. And I've got to say, having been working on the book now fairly intensively for the last few months, I mean, it really is an amazing experience to have gotten to work in that. I've had to read the book several times as part of the design process, and I'll be reading it again as we go into the final proofreading stage now. And it's just fascinating. Every time I kind of go through it, I'm learning more information about not just the history of Palitoy and the toys that I played with, but there's a whole kind of connected toy industry history in there. It's an amazing story. It's such an ambitious story to tell, because it's not just, you know, focusing in on Colville. It's a much bigger, you know, industry-wide and global-wide story, as well as the Colville story. So I think for toy collectors, for people interested in the toy industry, I would hope that they'll find it as interesting as I found it, and as thoroughly enjoyable as I found it too.
Interesting. And what was this is for both of you. So Brian, question one will be, what was the most sort of interesting or surprising thing that you found out through the course of doing this? And the part two of the question is for Bob. Did you, in the process of pulling all this together, did you find out some interesting and surprising things that maybe you didn't know about before? Brian, why don't you go first?
Well, there's obviously loads of revelations for me reading that book. One of the things was in terms of Palitoy and Star Wars, for example. I always thought that Palitoy, you know, made these fantastic kind of variations of some of the, you know, the early release toys, like the cardboard Death Star, but even variations, say, on the Cantina playset or the Land of the Jaws playset. I didn't realize how important Palitoy was, though, globally when it comes to the Star Wars brand, and how they had to kind of battle to become the main representative, you know, for Europe within the General Mills toy group to represent the Star Wars brand. And then they were the lead company for Star Wars outside of kind of Kenner in the USA. So that was something I didn't know. There's tons of information about Action Force that I only discovered as well. And Bob reveals in the book, and I don't know, Bob, if you're comfortable with me saying this, but when Bob did the designs for the Action Force figures, so initially he outsourced the sculpting to a world-renowned sculptor and called Ron Cameron, and he's a world-renowned fine art sculptor. And so Ron sculpted the figures working from Bob's designs, and you know, the talents that worked on those Action Force figures, you know, either within the Palitoy group or outsourced to third parties, it was world class, the quality of skill that went into them. And that's one of the reasons why they're still a great toy and very collectible still to this day. So they're two of many revelations that kind of came out of the book for me. So
Bob, for you, what was the process like? Did you sort of, as the process of putting all of this together, did you find out or rediscover lots of information that maybe you didn't realize about before?
So there's one particular thing, because before Palitoy became Palitoy Limited under General Mills, it was a toy division of Castelloid, and they wanted to boost the toys because it got a bit stale for them, and they got this guy in called Miles Fletcher, and he really made Palitoy. And I'd written the book, and then all of a sudden I get a call from Miles Fletcher's son saying, what's all this business about Bob Simpson being the godfather of Action Man? And Bob Simpson was the chap who took over Palitoy in the 70s. And I said, oh, I've been looking to try and find your father, but he passed away in the 90s, last century. And he said, well, my mother's still alive. She's 90. And she knows a lot about what happened at that particular time when Miles Fletcher was taking over the toy division of Castelloid. And I said, well, I need to talk to your mother. He says, well, we perhaps can do it by Zoom or something like this method. And I said, well, where does she live? And he said, well, she lives in a village on the Gower, just south of Swansea. And I said, well, funny enough, I'm going down to Swansea this weekend. So I was able to go and see Sue Fletcher, and she gave us some wonderful, wonderful photographs and told me so many stories about him, which I was able to get into the book really at the last minute. The photographs went to Brian, and you can tell the story about the photographs, Brian.
So they've got these wonderful photographs of kind of Miles Fletcher. Some were kind of photographs of him like at home with his family, and others were photographs of him, you know, in his kind of office in the Castleoid, you know, premises. And then there were even photos of him receiving an award for Action Man Toy of the Year, and other photos from that particular event. So it was an amazing resource of images. So we had to, though, obviously find who owned those images. So even though they were in the possession of the, say, the Fletcher family, we needed to check who actually, you know, owned them. So we tracked them down, and it was DC Thompson, a massive publisher. They owned them, and we were able to negotiate with them to get those images into the book, but also be able to return those images or scans of those images back to their image archive, which they were delighted with. So we're happy to say that all of those images that we received, we were able to kind of select from them and then get them in the book. And of course, now Miles Fletcher is very properly represented in the overall Palatoy story now.
Excellent. Yeah, I've got a few. It's a good prompt. I've got a few pictures from you of the layouts of the books to give a feel for what it looks like inside and what's, you know, immediately jumps out from looking from these sort of sample pages is how nice it looks in terms of the design, that there's an awful lot of content in terms of you know, what is on the page and the words to digest, but just in terms of flicking through it, it looks like there's an awful lot of sort of visual content there, including some, you know, lovely archive photos. I think that's the Action Man production line on the screen at the moment. Looks yep. incredible.
Those blue machines off on the left hand side there, Bob found out what was actually happening on those machines, and I think that's where they assembled the different limbs. Or the limbs were riveted together in those machines.
They're before. the riveting machines.
Yeah. So you think of like production of toys and stuff these days, and you think of just giant machines sort of and molds and just, you know, knocking everything out. But and I don't know if that's a fair assessment or not, but you know, definitely back in these days, it was a giant employer, wasn't it? And you know, an enormous amount of people doing things by hand.
Oh yeah, it's at the height of the company, there was over 1,000 people, and until a lot of it went out to the Far East, the factory was churning out many different types of dolls, Action Man, Action Force, of course, and then the story in the book is how that production went out to the Far East, how it became globalized, and how marketing became globalized, you know, with the Americans pushing that global, you know, marketing strategy. And that's how Palitoy, well, they didn't actually go because of that, but it was a part of the reason why Palitoy is no longer in existence.
And what's sort of striking from ever seeing any of your presentations before, and, you know, it is as well that clearly you're sort of a bit of an archivist, because we hear stories of a lot of people who've worked in these jobs, and they've got boxes of these amazing things that have been produced over the years, and they'll just be like, who'd be interested in this, let's just bin it, and all of this stuff goes. But have you always viewed yourself as a bit of an archivist, Bob, in terms of holding on to all of this amazing stuff that you've produced?
Not really. I always regret the fact that I didn't put a lot of stuff in the attic, especially Star Wars. But I did manage to when the company did fold up in when the design department folded up in 1984, August 1984, we were told to take whatever we wanted. So I was able to grab a lot of the Action Force prototypes, which was a good thing, I think. They might have gone in the bin. I mean, I rescued the prototype Robo Skull off the Toy Fair diorama. That was going in the bin at the end of Toy Fair. Right. So I managed to get away with that. So just a few things like that, but I haven't got a great archive. I got a lot of the sketches and visuals I did for Robo Skull and Triad and things like that, and some drawings of Action Man. When we redesigned Action Man to be all plastic to get rid of the rivets, I got some sketches of different ideas and the final design we went with and things like that. But I haven't got a great archive.
Mm. And it was your influence from the UK that then seeded back into the big 12-inch G.I. Joe, wasn't it, Bob, if I'm remembering correctly, that these were all innovations coming over from Palitoy that made its way back across the pond?
It was my boss, Bill Pugh, really. I explain it in the book that for the realistic hair, he saw that on TV on a program called Tomorrow's World, the process for that.
remember that show?
Yeah. And then he called Hasbro up and said, look, there's something new on Action Man we got here. You might be interested. So they came flying over, their engineers, and they took it on to G.I. Joe. And then, of course, the gripping hand, that was his idea when we were at Toy Fair, because Brian Turner, who was the Toy Fair manager, he used to just stick the rifle in Action Man's hand with a bit of glue, you know. And Bill Pugh was trying to do it and said, I can't get him to hold it. And Brian said, well, we just put a bit of glue in there and it'll stay. And you could see him thinking, actually. And I was there at the time and he says, no, what's a gripping hand? So that's how the gripping hand came about. And I, of course, sculpted it when I got back to the ranch.
Brilliant.
And then, of course, then, of course, Hasbro wanted to come up with something, so they came up with the Eagle Eyes, which we took off them.
Okay. That was a lot of fun. now, I did come up with a sort of a bit of a Palitoy-themed quiz. So this is a brief interlude, but I did want to fit it in. So it's called G.I. Joe merchandise, but imagine this is singing Palitoy merchandise.
Oh, so funky, so nice, it's G.I. Joe merchandise. Do you need it? Sure you do. It's G.I. Joe branded, fool. What shall we make? We can decide. Pick some old crap and put Eagles face on the side. It's G.I. Joe merchandise.
Oh, man. I love those little videos.
So we're going to try and do here is test your knowledge of some of the Action Force adjacent merchandise that came out during the Palitoy era. I've only got three of these. But the first one is up on the screen. It is an image of Iron Blood and an SAS, the SAS leader there, against a brightly coloured orange backgrounds. They're actually coloured in green. Whatever could this be, Brian or Bob, or even the people watching this live? You feel free.
Having a clue.
I'm going to guess that this is, and I am guessing that this is a bag of crisps or kind of a snack of some kind. And what a brilliant illustration of Iron Blood and Eagle there. I love that.
You are right, Brian. Oh, this is yay. Crispy Crunchies for the grand price of 5p. You could get yourself an Action Force themed bag of crisps, bacon flavor potato snack.
Love that.
So that next up, we have another picture of the SAS leader Eagle there. It's against a sort of white background. Whatever could this be?
No, I'm having a clue.
This is a tough one. I don't know what this is. I'm going to guess, though, that this is
I'm going to say a duvet.
Good guess, but it's not right. This is an eraser, and you can tell it's an eraser because they have written eraser on the front of it, just in case you weren't entirely sure what to do with this thing. So, there was some great stationery being produced at this point in time. So the final one here is, it looks like Iron Blood, a slightly sort of melty, chubby version of Iron Blood. Not quite action figure accurate here, but whatever could this be?
I know what this is.
I don't.
On top of your pen.
Right, it's a pencil topper.
Oh, yeah.
They made a few of those, so we've got slightly bow-legged selection of the enemy here. Iron Blood and Black Major, Mouton, Red Shadow, which I'm assuming are basically all of your designs, Bob, here in pencil topper form.
Well, the team's designs, yeah. It's team effort, of course. I did have a lot to do with the design of Mouton, though.
Uh-huh.
And I did say, let's take the German stormtrooper and turn him into some sort of red character. We didn't have any money to spend on tooling. So I said, the easiest thing to do is just wipe his face out, you know, with some sort of mask. So that's what Roger Morrison, the tooling manager, did. He went to tool maker and just wiped his face, wiped the German stormtrooper's face out. Yeah.
And sort of instantly iconic, just a change of color and the addition of that mask. Terrific.
Did the Mouton come with all his accessories?
I don't think he did. But if he did, they were lost, just like the original Mouton. Yeah. I don't think I ever had a Mouton that had his original accessories. They had already vanished by the time they got into my collection.
Yeah. Did you know when you were a kid that was the deep sea diver?
I didn't originally. No, I think in my childhood collection, I only ever had the Mouton, and so I didn't know the connection to the original diver.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that you've got in your blurb to let people know, why it is that we're actually talking to you today, and the upcoming deadline for getting this in at the price that you can get it today. So over to you, Brian, do your stuff.
So if you didn't get a chance to back the Kickstarter, you can still pre-order My Palatoy Story up until the 30th of September for the price of €70 plus shipping. And you can order that at totaltoybooks.com. But there's also a link to it on the Kickstarter page, which is still, it's still live. Even though the campaign has ended, the page with all the information about the book is still there. But totaltoybooks.com really is where to go to order that. But that pre-order is going to end on the 30th of September. And we will be finalizing our quantities with the printer at that stage. And the book is very close to going to press. We're really in the final, it's kind of end game in terms of edits on the book at this stage. So we're very close to going to print. We expect that there will be a small quantity of books, you know, remaining after all the rewards are fulfilled. And the regular retail price is going to be €95 plus shipping at that stage. So you still have, a week to get in there and get that fantastic offer price of €70 plus shipping. It's really, it's having read the book multiple times, it's going to be money well spent.
Good stuff. And when do you think it's going to be in people's hands?
Well, you might get a bit of an exclusive here, Mark, because we haven't actually revealed a date yet. But at the moment, we're looking at coming in significantly ahead of our kind of date that we suggested in the Kickstarter campaign, which was April of next year. But I would be hopeful that we could start the shipping to backers before the end of this year. I don't want to put an exact date on it just yet, but certainly would like to think that we would get the shipping started to backers before the end of this year.
I really look forward to it. And I know you've now got sort of a track record of these amazing looking books. So I'm sure that you've now got this audience who are going to just buy anything that you do because it's they know that it's going to look amazing. So I look forward to it being in my hands and exclusive. You said that it'll be with me in time for Christmas. So hooray. I know you didn't say that.
not if I keep bombarding him with edits. I must say, I really enjoyed the Irish hospitality when I went over to see Brian a couple of weeks ago, with Paddy and Carol and Martin McCann, and we had a great night out, and I really enjoyed myself. But since coming back, obviously I've been sending over a few edits, and I hope you don't mind, Brian, some of the things I've been sending over.
It's all brilliant. All great stuff. Great stuff. To get all knowledge, got to get it into the book.
And has it been two-way as well, Brian? Has there been points where you've been reading the draft and thought to yourself, I just want to hear more about this thing, you know, and shoot back to Bob and say, you know, this needs more?
Well, certainly on the images side of it, but Bob obviously supplied loads of images. He'd done massive research before he ever came to me. But over the process of designing it, I've suggested some images that are in there, and sometimes Bob is you know, thinks they're great ideas, and other times I have to kind of roll back on some of those ideas, because you know it's trying not to kind of let my own sort of, you know, preferences get in the way of Bob's story. So we can give one example, I suppose, where we found these amazing photographs of these Action Man prototype vehicles that were never produced. Right. And when I was kind of laying out those pages that discussed those particular vehicles, I gave them something like, you know, three pages of content. But it wasn't a three-page part of the story. I just thought the vehicle designs were fantastic. And Bob, you know, quite rightly kind of said, well, you know, that's a kind of a small part of the story, and those vehicles were never really produced. So we had to roll back on that a little bit. So it's kind of a two-way street in that regard. So I'm happy to throw ideas into the mix. And equally, Bob is kind of, you know, comfortable to say, you know, yes or no, depending on what he feels is right for the story.
But he's not rewriting my story, if that's what you're saying.
No, I think we get in the impression who's the boss here. That's good. So Bob and Brian, thanks so much for taking the time to hang out with us for this short while, and find out more about the book. Remind us, if we haven't already, that it's something that we need to go out and make sure that we bought it. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you at some point again in the future at a rollout roll call or some such event. So that will be something to look forward to.
Well, I'll definitely get rollout roll call in November, Mark. So hope to see you there.
Are you going to be there, Mark?
I will, yes.
Oh, I'm working on it at the moment.
Working on it. Excellent stuff. Cool. All right.
I might get there.
Yeah, hope you do, Bob. Hope you do.
Yeah, I'm sure anyone that's watching now will be crossing their fingers that you can make it. Perfect. So that's it from us. Check out talkingjoe.co.uk for more. If you're on YouTube, click, you know, and one of our other amazing videos to find out more about us and what else we've got on the channel. And of course, head on over to the website to find out more about my Pelotoy story. It's totaltoybooks.com, as a reminder again. So I think that is it for us. So thanks, and catch you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers, Mark.
Yeah.